Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
We do try to get things wrapped up a little bit quicker on these special occasions so that you can get back to or get to wherever you need to go. And it's good to be able to hang out with you guys today. And it's obviously not an easy day for some. I mean, we may have some widows in the room or some orphans of a kind, if you like. And so today may not necessarily be a great day, but I guess one of the things, as your pastor and one of the things that we really want to nurture and develop, I believe we have an element of this, and it keeps coming through in the feedback that we have, but it's something we really want to nurture and really protect, is that idea of family, this place being family, and that when you come in here, it's like coming home. And I think that whenever you use the word family and home for some people, automatically they just go, no. Because my experience of family and my home is just some place I don't want to actually connect. But I think our heart's desire is that we just have that safe place, that real place where people come and can get to experience family, maybe, well, what we think as it should be. And so, I've certainly appreciated my family this week, you guys, and especially this year, and I'm not the only one in the room that's had hardship this year, and in some ways, it's just turned September, so turn the person next to you and pinch and a punch for the first day of the month, in love. But it may be the 1st of September, you may be wishing 2013 was already gone, but we're just really appreciative of family. And so, that's what we are. And I know that family can be a blessing. But as they say, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose family. So whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. Yes. Oh, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family. I stand corrected. I've learned something. That is funny. And look, speaking of hardships, it'd be great just to keep in mind, I mean, whilst we're at church last week, Bianca and Jeremy had their home burgled, which is just horrible. But and also during the week, Monica, who had to go up to her farm property to get matters sorted and had some pretty serious legal action, Supreme Court action happening during the week because of the incident with the helicopter and other various legal matters, she had her home burgled as well during the week. And so, for those who don't know, Lynn McDonald has been in hospital this week with bacterial pneumonia coming out of having influenza, the real thing, not the man flu, but she had a real flu and very unwell. But fortunately, she's home and recovering, and Kelvin and Sean have been unwell as well. So, there's stuff happening. And so just keep praying for one another. We should have each other's backs and be praying for each other. So just encourage you. Just wanted to bring those things to you so you can at least pray specifically for those people. They don't need to be inundated with everybody just going, "Are you okay?" Sometimes that's not necessarily the best thing, although your intention is good. If you've got 30 people coming up and just going, "Oh, are you okay?" And it's, we just don't need to do that. So, but we want to bring it to your attention so you can actually be praying about it. So today we're looking at aspects of Father's Day, and there's so many, I guess, different angles that you can come from with this whole area, and lots of different things were bouncing around inside my head over the last few weeks in preparation for this. And I guess we sit here today, and there may be some single mums or single parents in the room, and yes, the Bible does say that in the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And so in that statement, we have this clear understanding, or the development of this understanding of part of God's character and nature is that His both maleness and femaleness comes out of the heart of God and who God is, His character and His nature. And so I personally believe in the absolute importance of the home, and where a child can grow in the understanding and the development of a mother and a father, and knowing that that is God's heart and a reflection of who God is. And now, obviously, we live in a society where that is becoming less and less the norm, which is a tragedy, I believe. And I also believe that God graciously compensates, especially in single parent situations. If it's a single mum, then God compensates with his love and mercy and grace to complement the mother gift. Or if it's a single dad, then he complements the dad with, you know, the nurturing side of things that comes from having a mother in the house. Does that make sense? So we're talking about the nature and character of God, because often we hear about, you know, our Father who art in heaven, and there's that emphasis on the fatherhood of God. And of course, that is all true, but I just wanted to point out also that the femaleness comes from the heart of God also. But today, because it's all about the dads, we're going to focus on the fathers. So what I would like you to do, I need a little bit of help just to gauge where we're going to go. It's a little bit of a choose-your-own-adventure this morning, but I want you to come up with words that not necessarily describe your father, because that may not be necessarily a good thing, but if you had to describe a good dad or what a good dad should be, what kind of words come to mind for you? Caring, loving, generous, humble, gentle, protective, security. What was that one? Strength, strong. Sorry? Encourager. Loving, yes. Sorry. Passionate. Present. Teacher. Is somebody whispering words into your ear back there, Rich? Is this like... Very good. Very good. Okay, we're just going to hand out a piece of paper right now. And we're going to get you to do something... It may be a little bit confrontational for some of you in this room, and that is not the intention of this exercise whatsoever. We've just called out some words. In the ideal world, that is what a dad should be like. And so what you've got is a piece of paper here, and they're going to make some pens available also if you need one. But I want to give you a few minutes to write a letter, not necessarily to the father you had, but maybe to the dad that you wished you had. If you can write a letter in glowing terms, and if your dad is sitting next to you right now, this is very interesting, isn't it? Feel free to get up and find another seat if... But you might be able to write a letter just saying, Dad, I thank you so much that you were at every one of my football games, that you were just there for all of my sporting stuff. Now, I can't write that because my dad never was there, but I wish he was. I wish he had been at all my sports stuff. Dad, I just really thank you that during that hardship when my heart was first broken and stuff, that you were actually the one that sat on the end of my bed and just listened to me, and you didn't come up with solutions, you just listened. I don't know, whatever it is for you. So this, as I said, it may not be easy, so I'm not asking you to write the letter to the father you had. Maybe it's the father you wish you had, or you can just... imagine that you had this ideal father figure in your life. I just want to give you a couple of minutes just to write out whatever is meaningful to you. You're not going to have to show anybody. I'm not going to read them out. This is very personal. It's private. I just want to give you a moment to do that. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pens down. No more writing. Interesting exercise, you know. And I know some people are just more generally creative, and things just flow and stuff like that. But I know that's not necessarily an easy exercise for some people in the room to do. But there may be certain things that came out in that letter that are, you know, were meaningful to you because you had that connection relationship with your dad, or you wanted to have that relationship with your father. And it's not rocket science to work out, and there's plenty of research goes in to show this, that our relationship with our earthly parents, and in this case our earthly father, or authority figures even, impact our relationship with our heavenly father. And there's a significant connection between the link between our relationship with our earthly father and our relationship with our heavenly father. And so some of the things that you've expressed there could be interesting just to take a look at and think about and just go, wow, you know, these are the things that I wanted. I wonder how that affects my relationship with God and how I'm tracking and how I'm journeying with God. I mean, have you ever wondered why God created the life cycle the way he has? Have you ever thought about why is it that God created it so that there would be a baby would be born that is solely dependent upon the parents and needs to be fed, needs to be changed, needs to be nurtured, needs to be encouraged and needs to be corrected at times if need be? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Why is it like that? Why didn't God see the way things was going and kind of like just do an upgraded version and sort of bring out the iHuman model number 6S and just instead of a baby just pops out an adult, self-sufficient, independent, and just all their issues sorted out? Why is that? I think that God is wanting within the family context and relationship between the parent or parents and child for that child to actually grow up and experience those things that I've just said. Experience the understanding that they are precious and that they are valuable and the sanctity of life and the importance of life and hearing those words, I love you, as they grow up, and that, hey, I'm so proud of you, and you look so beautiful in that tutu, and you know, you are so gorgeous, your hair looks fantastic, and mate, you kicked that ball so well, and just those words of encouragement that a child would grow up and develop in those things. You notice I have a great emphasis on the girl stuff than I do the boy stuff when I'm using. A bit harder to come up with the boy stuff, but anyway, that's just my own issue. But, you know, like, you know, kids are grow. You know, God created it, and the kids would grow up, and they would begin to experience, or they should experience, those things. So as they get older, they can begin to make the connection. Wow, you know, wow, I've got this God that I've experienced love, and I've been told that I'm valuable, and that I'm precious, and I'm important. And when I come into a relationship with God, it's an easy connection between my understanding of love and who God is. My understanding of what a good father is and who God is. That's in the ideal how it is meant to be. But sadly, we live in a world, the reality is, where that doesn't happen that much at all. And in many ways, when I was growing up, I mean, a lot of aspects of my childhood were great, but there were some aspects, not because of physical or sexual abuse, it was just merely because I had an absent father in my life. Dad was there, but he wasn't there. And he was very busy with work, and he was a pastor with 6 kids and, you know, on a pathetic wage. And so at the time growing up as a kid, you don't have the emotional intelligence to understand why your parents aren't around and why he's doing what he's doing, because the world revolves around me. And I'm going, Dad, you're just not there for me. You're never at my sporting events. You're not at my academic stuff. And it doesn't matter what I do or what I did. Dad was just never there. And so I started to push him away. And then I realized later in life that that wasn't helping the situation. Again, I'm not expected as a kid to get that. And he's the parent and he should have done things differently, maybe, whatever. Because we all say that I'm never going to do what my parents did, right? Parents in the room, you ever think that? Or if you're not a parent yet, you're going to be probably thinking to yourself, my mum and dad, I'm never going to do what they did. But anyway, so I was in this situation. But as I realized my dad's story, who was put into an orphanage by his mum and grandmother, and he had that whole rejection thing, didn't know who his real dad was, and he was placed in that orphanage, and he tells me he remembers standing on the steps of that orphanage at 10 or 11 just crying, going, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? As his grandmother and as his mum walked away. And that rejection. And here I am as a kid, kind of, I'm rejecting my dad, and maybe I've got no idea, and I'm not trying to get all Dr. Phil on you here, but I wonder whether kind of me pushing my dad away and rejecting him stirred up some of those emotions and feelings that I hadn't had no idea were even there. And it's not going to help my relationship with my dad. And he didn't know how to handle and he didn't know how to process that. But in the ideal world, yes, we would be raised in an environment where we are just so cherished and valuable, valued, and we're just adored and loved and encouraged and supported, and we feel safe and we feel secure. This morning, I just want to go over 7 things that I think, and quickly, 7 things that I believe impact our lives with our earthly parents that influence strongly our connectedness or connection or view or perception of who God is. Does that make sense? So there are things that in our dynamic with our parents that are going to strongly influence and shape our relationship with God. And some of these may resonate and some may not. The first one is parental authority. Parental authority. And that we can see an abuse of power in society, and we can easily get into a situation where that we don't trust, and so it's difficult to trust because people are abusing that power. I mean, I know that, say, when I come home, or especially when Nat comes home, and she opens the front door, our dog Archie bolts to the front door, and it's like this bouncing, happy little puppy, and he's just there. He's so happy, and he's so excited. He wants to just jump up, and he wants to hug you, and he wants to kiss you, and he says, "Welcome home, Dad. It's so good that you're home," and he's just jumping all around. His tail's going berserk, and he's just so happy to see you. And that's really cool, but I've also met other dogs that when you walk in the room, they kind of cower away, and they shrink back, and they are just so scared, and they're just not sure what you're going to do. And especially, you know, when you meet a dog that's been, you know, treated poorly and badly as a puppy, you know, you just see those traits. You know, they hear a noise and they just startle, and they just cower and they shrivel away. And you can just see the difference between a loving, caring, nurturing environment where the dog gets spoiled and it's a humog. It's more human than it is a dog in our house. And he's just like a valued family member, and we just love him and adore him. And he's just like that compared to what can happen. And it's so similar with us as human beings when we have those situations where we grow up and there is that parental authority is abused, or there is a mistrust with that. And yet the reality is we have this God who is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. The Bible calls it, is the fancy word for that is omnipotent. All-powerful, not weak in any way, shape, or form. He is perfect in every way. And not once has he abused that power. And in no way has he used that power for his own advantage, if ever he is using it so that he can have relationship with you and I. And so our understanding of our parental authority and how we've experienced that can affect our understanding of God, who he is, in terms of his authority and his power. The second one, parental faithfulness. Parental faithfulness. And again, I mean, in society, there's such a demise in long-standing faithfulness in our society. And faithfulness here is not, I'm not just talking about divorce or separation, that kind of thing, but I'm also talking about the inability to commit in the first place, or the inability to be able to follow through on commitments. Just that, our understanding. And, you know, my dad was always like, "Phil, if you say you're going to do something, you do it. If you say you're going to go to something, then you go to it. If you commit to this and a better option comes up, you say no to that because you've already committed to that. So you be faithful and you be committed." Do you get what I'm saying? So that was kind of like what shaped my idea of faithfulness in relationship. And blessed to see my mum and dad, you know, sort of in a committed married relationship for however many years it is now, far out, it must be like coming up to nearly 46 or something like 46 or 47 years. So I've been very blessed to have that role modeled to me, that whole area of faithfulness. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "God is faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." We have a faithful God. And I want to tell people this morning, I want to encourage you, the only person that will ever walk out on a relationship with Jesus Christ is you or me. He will never walk out on you. He's shown his commitment to you and I through giving his life. Greater love has no man than he that would lay down his life for another. Jesus, God cannot demonstrate his faithfulness in any other greater way. He's shown us, he's laid his cards on the table, and it's up to us whether we want to engage with that. And yet our experience of what faithfulness is or what it hasn't been can affect how much we engage and how connected and how deep and how close we want to go to God. Because deep down underneath, we might be thinking, well, everyone else that was supposed to be faithful and role models faithfulness to me walked out. Why would God be any different? And God is true to his word, and this is part of his nature and his character, and it's one of his attributes of being a faithful God. If he stops being faithful, he stops being God. So parental faith. Number three, parental generosity. Parental generosity. We know what generosity is, so I don't need to go into that. But sometimes I think in society today, we can be more focused on things and stuff, and we can and find ourselves saying, "Hey, do you know how much that costs?" It's like, you know, be careful. Now, I'm not talking about just trashing and treating things poorly, and we should take care of our things, but sometimes we can communicate the message, or we can receive the message, that things are more important than what I am. And so therefore we get this understanding that, wow, I've got to be of value or of importance to experience love in this relationship. And I love the fact that God is not stingy. God is not materialistic, in case you're wondering. He just simply wants you. He just wants you. If the Bible says he's jealous for anything, he's jealous for you. He's a jealous God. He wants you all to himself. And he has shown us in the most incredible ways, like I've just referred to, that, I mean, just immense ways of his love and generous ways in demonstrating that to us, that he is a generous, generous God. Number four, parental affection. Parental affection. For some of us, we didn't get any. For me, from my dad, when he came, I don't remember being hugged. I don't remember being told, son, I love you. What my dad would do as I'm eating breakfast each morning or most mornings, he'd come out, he'd whack me on the back and go, proud of you, son. And I hate that. And I've shared this story, so don't come and do it. You know, if you want to push a button in my life, that'll do it. I'm working through it. It's okay. You've got your stuff, I've got mine. Leave me alone, all right? But being whacked on the back, even when I played footy, I hated it. Blokes soon learned I just didn't like getting whacked on the back. And don't whack me on the bum either. I don't like that either, all right? So it's all right. But that was just, you know, sort of my experience with my dad and just what physical. And when I kind of like started to build relationship with guys, and it was just a bit weird hugging a bloke. Just, I don't know about you, but, and then like I just went, wow, you know, I don't remember ever being comfortable with this with my dad. And as I began to develop that and just go, wow, there's just something really special about just giving someone a hug. And, you know, there are people here, I know you don't like the physical touch thing, you don't like people invading your personal space, and I get that. But, you know, just there's something special about a hug. Or there's always the side hug. Michael's got a brother and he just loves hugging you like this. He sort of leans from a distance because he's about 6'3". He leans from a distance. Just a side hug, you know, those little side hugs. Well, we've all got, you know, different experiences. Some of you may have been told, you know, hey, don't cry, you're not allowed to cry, don't let people see emotion, don't let see any of that. But yet the Jesus I read about wasn't like that. He was a man of heart, he was a man of emotion, he was a man of affection. That he was moved so strongly at the plight and needs of this lost and dying world that he would weep openly and not be ashamed or embarrassed about that. And I just love how God's love for us is so immense and immeasurable. You know, I just, even in our house and putting photos up around, and, you know, we've got these photos of special moments that we have with the kids and trigger memories, and, you know, every parent goes, oh, you know, look, I know, you know, I'm a parent and it's my child, but, you know, they're just that little bit special, you know, they're just a little bit advanced, you know, they're actually, you know, everyone else is on reader P and mine's on reader W, and, you know, like, you know, oh, they walked a bit early and, you know, oh, they got saying sentences, I know they shouldn't at this age, but, you know, and that's just that pride, it's just that love, and we have photos and now we have stuff on our iPhones and iPads and stuff like that. But you've got to understand, God's got his own photo album, digital, super high definition thing that would blow our minds, where he's captured all those moments of you as a baby just laughing, and that brought great delight to his. He's got a photo album of you. He's got, you know, video footage before videos were ever invented in high definition, and he's got that there, and he looks at it and goes, wow. And when you were making baby noises, he knew what you were trying to say. He was with you. He was there. He was watching, and he was just bursting with pride. I remember sitting with Ruby when she was born because Nat's labor experience wasn't fantastic, and Anita's in labor now. Joe Scriber's wife is in labor as we speak, so it might be a really good Father's Day gift for Joe Scriber, and we're hoping that he'll get on the front page of the Herald Sun tomorrow. So anyway, but Nat's labor experience wasn't fantastic, so after 27 hours and it was just long and drawn out, and God was in the midst of all of that. When the specialist walked through the door, it was a guy Nat had seen 4 years earlier for a different matter altogether. And this is at 2 o'clock in the morning. He looked at me, and then he looked at Nat, and he goes, I know you. We hadn't seen him for nearly 4 years, and he reeled off her history. And I found out later he's actually a Christian guy, and he comes in, and there was just this amazing peace and calm that just came into the room. And he sort of looked, checked it out, said, nah, cesarean. So we went up, and Nat was in recovery, and I'm holding Ruby for the first 45 minutes of her life. And, you know, babies are just so bright and alert in that first little bit of time. And I'm holding this precious life, and like, I've just, those feelings and emotions that you just can't describe. And, it's like your heart is going to explode out of your chest because of just the love you feel for this little baby. And at the same time, you're absolutely scared out of your brain because you think, oh, my goodness, I'm responsible. But, you know, just this, I just, oh, my God, I didn't think. You know, I love Nat. And wow, there's this different dimension to this love I'm experiencing this moment. And that's how God feels about you. He was there when you were born. He's going, wow. You are just so, so amazing. I love it. In Psalm 139, listen to this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Never leave you, never forsake you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He looks at you and he smiles. He even knows what you did this week and he still loves you. Still loves me. Wow. But you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I looked that up. Fearful here in the Hebrew means to frighten. You frighten God. He looks at you and it's not because you've got bed hair and you've come out of bed and your hair's this way and you're kind of grumpy and like you don't function unless you have a shower and a couple of coffees. Like he just loves you and you've been fearfully. You frighten him with what your potential and what you're able to do. He goes, you're amazing. And you're wonderfully made. God does not make mistakes. There is not one mistake in this room. Every single one of you has been ordained and precious. Your days were numbered before one of them came to be. So if you're meandering through life, you don't think you've got purpose or meaning, you think, what is this all about? God has a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you existing. He's got a reason for you being here. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. Whether your parent told you that, whether a teacher told you that, teacher said that to me one day, said, Phil Brake, you're going to amount to nothing. You're nothing but a sponge. You just sit there and you soak it all in. I go, you're a teacher. Isn't that, I'm a student. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? What is wrong with you, man? And my mate who was like, you know, sort of in the lower third of the academic accomplishments at the school, but very accomplished at the wrong things, he stood up and he goes, you leave my mate alone. He's really smart. I'm going, thanks, Darryl. You're the man. I don't need to say anything. But those words stick. And you need to hear the word of God today, not me. You need to hear the words from his word that as you are fearfully and you're wonderfully made, and that he smiles over you. He loves you so much. Couple to go, parental presence. And this is certainly one that we can never, ever outdo God in. We can be in one place at one time, but God is with all of us at all times. And that's good and it's scary. And again, another story I may have shared with some of you, but I remember sitting when Ruby was about 2.5 and we're drawing and it was my day off and we're sitting down at the little IKEA, little red table, and we've got the yellow chairs and got the crayons and we're drawing away and stuff like that. And we're drawing and we're together and we're sitting there Monday morning after a hectic weekend of church stuff. She put the crayon down, both hands just went whack, caught my attention. She looks at me and she goes, Dad, you're not here. And I went, yes, I am. I'm here. She goes, no, you're not. You're not here. Should be with me. I just went, wow. 2.5, 3, it scared the bejeebus out of me. Here I am thinking I'm getting away with it. But she was right. I wasn't there. I'm off, busy, church, God stuff and whatever, thinking I'm a good pastor. But she's right there. Missed the moment. I was there, but I wasn't there. And certainly made that attempt and desperate effort not to do that again. Can't say that I've done it all the time, but I'm certainly better at it than what I used to be. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And he's thinking about you and watching everything that you do and the things that concern you. He is there. Because my dad, when I was walking with my dad, and we had just had Ruby when she was less than 12 months old, walking through a park, and my dad just went quiet, which is unusual for my dad in the first place. But as we're walking, I just could just see this little tear in his eye and didn't see my dad cry much. And I said, Dad, you're all right. And he just said, son, Once again, I'm so proud of you, but we'd actually worked through all the issues by this time. And he goes, son, I'm so proud of you. And he goes, I can't remember ever doing this with you. Just walking you guys in the pram or just walking with you. He goes, I can't remember ever doing that with you. And it was just like, you know, there was no anger towards my dad. And because for me, the reason why I stand before you today is because I had a very profound revelation of the Father heart of God when I was 17 that changed my life, because that's how God got through to me. And that's what I needed, because I was heading in a wrong direction. And he just captivated me with his Father heart of love for me, because that's what I so desperately wanted. Because every single one of us in this room, it doesn't matter how old you are, for Nat and I, we find ourselves in this place all the time, especially with Nat's dad and even mom and my mom and dad. It's just, we just want their approval. We just want their affirmation. Doesn't matter how old you are, you always want your parents' affirmation. You want your parents' approval. There's just something innately, and especially, you know, I think there's just something, maybe it's more for guys, but there's just something in us that we just want our dads to be proud of us and to affirm us and to cheer us on and just go, you're the man. And sadly, some of us never got that or never have the chance to get that, but you need to hear that God is always there. And he is saying those beautiful words to you over and over again if you're willing to listen. I love you. I care about you. I believe in you. I'm cheering you on. I'm there for you. Which leads me into the second last one, which is parental acceptance. That whole thing about being accepted is that innate desire. And I think that so much of life, from what I observe, is based on performance. If you're good at this, then you'll be accepted, or you'll have value if you're good at that. And even churches can get like that, that if certain people have gifts and talents, and if they can stand up here and they can sing and they can play, or if they've, you know, if they've got something they can offer over there in that kids ministry or youth ministry, or if they've got money, then hey, then they can come in close. And it ends up that people are a means to an end, when the whole means and the end is people. And it just gets all screwed up. And this whole thing about kind of getting on that treadmill, if I work hard enough, if I do this, if I do that, if I'm this kind of person, if I look or sound this way or have this or that, then I'll be accepted or whatever. And maybe that's what it was like with your parents, that you kind of like you had to meet certain markers or parameters and boundaries and different things, and provided you met these different things, then everything would be fine. But yet you need to understand that God loves you just the way you are. And he loves you when you're just being you. Because he knows when you're not being you. Because he created you. And so he wants you just to be you. And he loves you just the way you are. Just moving through. Last one, communication, parental communication. I think this is an important one, because communication's key in any relationship. But as we grow up, we're influenced by the way our parents communicate to one another, how they communicate to others, how they deal with conflict or not deal with conflict. You know, is silence something that is precious and special, or is it a treatment that you endure? You know, how do they speak about other people in front of them, but when they get behind closed doors, how did our parents speak about them behind closed doors? All those things we learn from our parents, and in that what is meant to be a safe family environment, what is appropriate, what not appropriate, and how we are to go about life and communicate and interact with others. Does that make sense? And so therefore, we can kind of like, it can impact how we communicate or how we relate to certainly other people, but also with God. Let me just read this to finish off, and it's a book that I strongly encourage you to have a look at. It's old school, and when I say old school, it's 1985. Sad when that's old school. Moriarty's a lecturer, and he's got students that were born in 1995 at the moment. I don't know what that says about me, but anyway, I'm not going to go there. This guy, Floyd McClung, has written a book called The Father Heart of God. And let me just finish with this paragraph. The important thing is that you get to know God for who he really is, not for who you think he is. He is the perfect parent. He always disciplines in love. He is faithful, generous, kind and just. He loves you and he longs to spend time with you. He wants you to receive his love and know that you're a special and unique person to him? Will you receive God's love and affection? Will you open up and enter into an intimate relationship with your true Father? He is patiently waiting for you to come to him. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we use that word, and Lord God, we've all got different experiences, some good, some bad, some ugly, some just so-so of our relationship with our earthly Father, but it can so strongly impact our relationship with you. And Father, I only stand here this morning able to have a bit of a grasp on you as a Father, and to be able to say, Abba, Daddy, Father, with all my heart, because you did something magnificent in my life that I am forever grateful for. And Lord, I just pray even this morning as we've been sitting, that there would be something here, Holy Spirit, that you would stir within hearts today. That, Lord God, if there is a sense of plateau in our relationship with you, if there's a sense of just not breaking through, then maybe something that was shared this morning, Lord God, can help be a catalyst for that wall to come down or growth to begin to happen again. So, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence in this room. I thank you that you want to come and reveal the Father's heart of love for us afresh this morning. I thank you that you love and you cherish us beyond what we could ever truly comprehend. That, Lord God, you are so faithful that you are more committed to us than we could ever be committed to you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, that you are slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in mercy, abounding in grace. So I'm just going to stand for maybe 30 seconds to a minute. I'm just going to allow just this moment of silence just to be yours. And right now, maybe you're not in the headspace to go there or to reflect in this kind of way, and that's okay. But if you're willing to open your heart this morning, I truly believe that God is just wanting to just begin to reveal something fresh in you about himself, who he is, his love for you. That you would hear words this morning. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm not finished with you yet. There's so much more for you to live and experience. Just want to leave you with this thought. Just encourage you that Jesus can relate to us more than what I think we understand. Because if you think about the moment he was hanging upon the cross and he says, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? If you've ever felt kind of rejected or isolated by or abandoned by your Father, or there's some level of inadequacy in your relationship that you can see from your perspective with your Father, Jesus can relate to you more than what you can understand. As he hung on that cross, the Father had to turn his back on his Son because he was carrying the sin, that putrid, wretched sin of all of us, so we wouldn't have to endure and pay the consequence and the cost for which we were rightfully owed. Jesus took that upon himself. And so a pure, righteous, holy God had to turn his back on his one and only Son. And so Jesus in that moment felt that rejection on top of the weight of the sin of the world. Pretty immense, pretty intense. And so this morning, Jesus knows how you feel. He knows exactly how you feel. It's a big thought to wrap your head around.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.